Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So what would you say is your biggest obstacle to trusting God? And this is not rhetorical. I actually want you to text me and tell me. Be honest. Yeah, I shouldn't even have to say that because you guys are so honest. I'm honest. This is sort of the real zone. But I would love to know, if you're just brutally honest with yourself, what is your biggest obstacle to trusting God in maybe a certain particular area of your life? Text me now, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Maybe it's that sense of control that you don't want to give up control. Or maybe it's the pain that you've endured where God allowed that. What other thing is He going to allow? Or maybe somebody who represented God was not trustworthy, so you're finding it hard to trust God Himself. What is it? Well, Scripture says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Blessed are those who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like a tree planted by streams of living water. There's so much to that passage that it talks about. We are not subject to the elements of the heat, of drought. When we're trusting in God, our leaves stay green. We continue to bear fruit. There's a flourishing for the person of God as we trust Him in all seasons. But how can we grow in faith if we're not also trusting God? I don't know that we can. We've got to grow in faith and grow in the way that we trust God. Well, my friend Joanna Weaver joins me today to talk about her new book, Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Joanna writes so beautifully, so honestly. And if you have issues with trust, I want you to have this book. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. If you love Faith Radio, if you're listening often and you find yourself being a radio missionary, telling people all about what's going on with Faith Radio, well, you kind of already are a Faith Radio ambassador. But if you want us to equip you with some swag and different things to just help you, we've got a team that will help just empower you. If you ever feel like you want to show up at an event and represent Faith Radio, you can go to our website, faithradio.com. And on the More Info tab, look for the More Info tab. It says Get Involved, and that's where you'll find more about being an ambassador. We'd love that. Let me tell you now about my guest. We'll get you on the, get her on the show. Joanna Weaver is the author of multiple books and a companion DVD Bible studies that have been used by hundreds of churches as well as home groups around the world. God has opened doors for Joanna to speak at conferences around the country and internationally. Her passion is to see women experience God's incredible love and grace so they can become all He created them to be. She loves being a pastor's wife and the mother of three. The Weavers reside in the beautiful Big Sky state of Montana. Joanna, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Suzy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we like to start every day talking Scripture, and I'm just wondering, what has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Oh my goodness. my heart is so full. He really has been having me live and live in and live out Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've spent a lot of my life trying to get those first two things done, being crucified to flesh and, you know, dying to myself. But this whole idea that Christ in me, that's the hope of glory. And how do I cooperate with that? What does that even look like to let Him live His life fully in me? And it has just been such a sweet adventure. And I feel like I've only kind of just scratched the surface of that mystery. You know, the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, yeah, it's been fun. It's
wow.
Been fun.
I love God so much. I love His Word. And it's the only book on the planet that's living and breathing and active and powerful. We open up that Word, it's like we open up God's mouth and there's a fresh Word for each of us. That's why I ask that question every day. I think it's so powerful. Well, we're doing this as well, just because we're going to compile, we're going to put together a program on gratitude. So I want to ask, what are you thankful for these days?
Yeah. Well, this probably sounds a little bit religious, but I kind of that kind of piggybacks on what I just said. I was in the Word this morning, and Isaiah 43:10 in the New Living Translation says, "You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God." And I just find myself so overwhelmed that God would stoop so low to allow me to know him, to come in with God with skin on, and yet then his Holy Spirit to live in me. So that really has been capturing my heart lately. Just so grateful that I serve a knowable God who longs to be known by me.
Wow, that doesn't at all sound like a religious answer to me. That sounds like a relationship answer, you know, that you really know him. You know him and he knows you. What an incredible, incredible gift. Well, when you look back on your faith journey, when did you start to, you know, when did God start to challenge you on your levels of trust where you realized, you know, it seems like there, when he draws us to himself, there is a little bit of a honeymoon phase often, but then we kind of hit the rumble strips and life sets in, but God is with us, but he does allow enough trials to help us learn to engage our faith. And talk about your journey with trusting in God. What's that look like?
Yeah. Well, you know, I came to know the Lord when I was 4 or 5 years old. I honestly don't remember the moment. I feel like I was born into a family who loved Jesus so much that I knew him from the moment I was born. But there came that time when I knew I had to have my own personal relationship. And yet, though I'd given God my heart, I sort of kept the rest back, you know, because even as a young teenager, I was a little afraid of what God might require. I mean, what if I really went all in with him? And so, you know, I loved him with one part of my heart, but the other part of my heart was kind of enamored with the world. But God in his mercy just allowed a lot of personal friendships and just some things to transpire that just kind of blew up. And I realized that the things I was looking for in people, in their affirmation, their acceptance, that it was so fickle and it was so changing and that it didn't really fill that hole in my soul. And so I was really 13 and a half when at a youth camp, Jesus said, "I want all of you." And he'd been talking to me for several months about it. And it was, oh my goodness, a tug of war. Like, it really was a war in the members of my body, like Paul talks about in Romans, where, you know, where with my spirit, I loved God with all my heart, and yet my flesh wanted to retain control. But he, in his mercy, just allowed all of those events to conspire to the point where I just came to the altar one night at youth camp, and I just felt like, it sounds silly maybe, but as a young teenager, but I felt like all I had was shattered pieces. And I just remember saying, "Okay, God, I give you my life. If you could make anything beautiful out of the pieces, I'm yours." And you know what? It was really that moment, that all-in surrender, that changed the trajectory of my life forever. And while there has continued to be need for surrender, which is the first part of the book, letting go of that laying down our lives, letting go and surrender, that initial battle for my soul of whether or not was, you know, Jesus was my savior, but would he be my Lord? That was so critical for me. So this message of trust started at a very young age, really of just, okay, I say I love you, but will I trust you? And of course that question has to be decided in different arenas and in different situations that come up. But because that initial battle was won, so much of that struggle has really already been settled.
That's so beautiful. I'm going to read some of the texts that have come in. So when I asked, you know, what is your greatest obstacle to trust in God? This dear one says, waiting for the next tragedy. And I do so understand that. And one of the prayers we have, as you listen to this show, as you even time it, tune in for our live broad live streams on Wednesdays, trying to get you out of bracing for impact into the place where you can rest and receive, to the point where you can stand and believe. So I'm praying that for you, dear one. So that is a common obstacle, and I thank you for your honesty. Another one, Joanna, this listener said, sometimes have trouble trusting in God when I feel like he isn't working things together for my good. When he's answering prayers differently than I expected, it's then when I need to remind myself that his definition of good is much better than mine. His ways are higher than mine. He always has my best interests at heart. That's so good. I appreciate you saying that. This dear one says, I think it's because I didn't trust my father. I'm being taught parent model of fear and waiting for the other shoe to drop. Again, I just think, again, that just makes so much sense. This dear one says, I'm afraid of relationships that I stay alone a lot. I'm so afraid of relationships that I stay alone a lot. I fear man more than I do God. I'm ashamed to admit. I pray that God leads me to a small group of Christians that will teach me how to be strong in the Lord and truly love others. Since I moved 2 years ago, I haven't found a church yet. But Faith Radio has stood in the gap. God bless you, and I thank you for your honesty. Here's another one. I do trust God, but if I'm honest, I don't trust him to answer things the way I think that they should go. I don't understand why some are healed and some are not, why he allows abuse and such hurt in our lives. Thank you for your honesty. Those are hard, hard questions. And this dear one says, hey, can I listen to your show on podcast? I'm just going to tell you, yes. Do you know we've got listeners in 100 different countries? So once the live show is over, it'll go up on podcast. We're going to pause here and take a break. But I'll just tell you, you can live stream on myfaithradio.com from anywhere. You can go to our app store, download the free app, and either listen to the live show on that app or catch the podcast after the show. And the name of the show is Susie Larson Live. When we come back, we're going to talk about 10 signs that we may have trust issues. So these are kind of symptomatic. This is one of the ways you can take inventory to say, hey, do I have trust issues? A little later in the show, we're going to talk about ways to activate your faith, starting to trust God with the little things. And prayer by the end of the show is that you are stirred up in faith and you're activated to go, I'm going to start small if I have to, but I'm going to start trusting God. We're going to build a case for why you can trust him. Talking to Joanna Weaver today, her book is Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. We'll be back in a minute. So do you listen to Susie Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Joanna Weaver about her new book. Beautiful cover, by the way. Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. And really, who doesn't have trust issues? And it seems, from what I can tell, that most of us maybe trust God in certain areas of our life because we've seen God's faithfulness. But in areas where we've been allowed to perpetually suffer, perpetually struggle, and then you look around and see others perpetually suffer in those same places, it's so hard to trust. I completely understand that. We've got a handful of copies to give away of Joanna's book, but she addresses those things in her book, Embracing Trust. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we're really praying by the end of the hour, you feel like, I'm ready to trust God. Even if it's little steps, I'm going to trust him. Remember what scripture says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. So, Joanna, we're going to talk about the 10 signs that you may have trust issues. I want to walk through those. The first one is you keep God at a distance. You rarely spend time with him or ask him questions. Unpack that one.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, some of us have expressed that even in the listeners' comments that, you know, life has not gone the way we thought it would. We have questions that have remained unanswered. And at times, either we don't feel worthy to be close to him, or sometimes I think we can even find ourselves sort of placing God on parole and just kind of saying, you know, Lord, I'm going to keep you at arm's distance because I don't know if I can trust you. But the sad thing is we distance ourselves from the very thing we need. He may not give us the answers, but he does promise his presence. And so I've had to look at that, those places where maybe I feel a little distant from the Lord. You know, is it related to a disappointment or a frustration? And it's beautiful that we can even bring those questions to the Lord.
That's so true. Okay, number two, you remain in the driver's seat. So when you say God is my co-pilot, you actually mean it. Say more about that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think there's two kind of people, people who are proud of being control freaks and people who are in denial, you know, and it's scary. And here's the thing that I think, you know, one of the bases of the book is really our issue with trust goes way back to the Garden of Eden, where the enemy told us, God doesn't have your best in mind. You need to seize control. And that really is the same temptation that he uses with us, that, okay, yeah, you got heaven, but let's not go crazy here. Let's not give God complete control. After all, you know, you get things done. God uses you. You make things happen. But as a result, you know, we miss that, just that peace that comes knowing that God is for us and he's working on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, when you think of that Jeremiah 17 passage, blessed are those. I remember studying that word, and that really, it's like you're putting yourself in this place of really almost bestowing a blessing upon yourself by putting yourself under the protection of God. Like you're doing yourself a favor by trusting God and making him our hope and our confidence. We miss out on so much, and we endure so much needless pain and stress and sorrow by not trusting him. Okay, number three, another sign that you might have trust issues. So the first one is you keep God at a distance. Second is you remain in the driver's seat. Third, your prayer life tends to be lifeless or non-existent because you don't want to be disappointed. Say more.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us, you know, even just initially as Christians, we don't always feel really strong in prayer. Some of us don't know how to do it. Some of us have done it with no results. Some of us, we just go through the motions, but our hearts really stay disconnected. And I do think it comes from this disconnect that says, okay, God's up there somewhere, but I'm not entirely sure that he cares or that he wants to work on my behalf. And as a result, our prayer life just kind of gets flat. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit is even when we don't know how to pray, he actually wants to help us. And he can bring life back to the lifeless.
So good. Number four, you tend to be a skeptic. When people talk about answers to prayer or excitement about feeling Jesus or following Jesus, you wonder how much is true and what is just hype. What do you say?
Yeah. I think we all have problems when other people seem to experience something we're not experiencing ourselves. And, you know, a lot of us say, well, I'm just not an emotional person, you know, and that's true. We're also wired differently, and God loves us just as we are. And yet I think at times, because when we don't emotionally engage with the Lord, we miss the joy of really having that sweet relationship with him. And as a result, we tend to stand in judgment rather than actually get to participate in the good stuff.
Wow. I want to just interject before we're walking through a list from Joanna's book on signs you know you may have trust issues. But I want to interrupt this with a text that came in. When I asked about obstacles to trust, this dear listener said, the church has become an obstacle. She says, I know we need, maybe it's a she, I don't know. I know we need community. But after serving and working at a church for many years in finance and seeing the behind the scenes, I worked in the finance area where there had always been accountability and integrity. Well, then the new pastor came in, used guilt and manipulated people to promote himself and his agenda. I left 3 years ago. I have not rejoined a church family since. I miss my church family so much. I'm just wondering if you would speak to that. As a pastor's wife, Joanna, what do you say?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to apologize. I want to apologize for pastors and leaders who have misused their authority. But I just want to encourage you, God has a family. He says that he sets the lonely in families. And the body of Christ needs you. So please, I pray that it is an anomaly to have a pastor like that, because that hasn't been my experience. I know as a ministry couple, we definitely don't do things perfect. But we do long to honor the Lord and honor the people we serve. So I just want to encourage you, give the body another chance, because we need you. And the Bible says, Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the gathering together. And all the more as you see the day approaching, I really believe more than ever, we need the body of Christ. And I think that's why the enemy is doing his best to divide and distract and just scatter the flock, because he knows there's power in coming together.
Yeah, I pray that too, that God would lead you in his peace and you would find a church home that's your new church home, that there's just for this new season. So mm-hmm. we're so glad, so grateful that you're listening. We love you. And I love, Joanna, that you even, you know, just on behalf of leaders, apologize. There are bad leaders, but boy, we don't want them to stand in the way of us running hard after God and enjoying mm-hmm. the fruits of fellowship. I mean, wow, we can't even fully grow and mature without each other. So thank you for your honesty in that. So we're looking at this top 10 list out of Joanna's book on signs you might have trust issues. And know this, you can hear the mercy in Joanna's voice. She oozes empathy and compassion. There's no condemnation. These are just kind of a heart check for all of us. And I think we all have trust issues, if we're honest. So the first one is you keep God at a distance. Second is you remain in the driver's seat. Third is your prayer life tends to be lifeless or non-existent simply because you don't want to be disappointed. Four is you tend to be a skeptic because you're kind of observing from a distance. The fifth one is you don't feel God's love. Though you believe he died for your sins, you still think you need to earn his favor. What do you say?
Well, that really was part of my journey, even though I'd gone all in with Jesus, there was still part of me that hadn't fully accepted his love or understood his grace. And, you know, the thing I have found, the only way to get that from our head to our hearts is just to give God access, just to give God his access. And, you know, I've just had to decide. So many times I limit God by my limitations. And because I'm disappointed in myself, I assume he is. And so I feel like he's got me on parole. But you know what? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are fully accepted into the beloved. And so rather than trying to earn something that's already ours, let's start living from that place of security that although we're not going to do it perfectly, we are deeply loved. And he is working in us because, he wants to do something special through us.
Joanna, I love what you just said, that so often you limit God by your limitations. And how is that not true for so many of us, that we look at God through the lens of our limitations or through the lens of our pain? And I often say we are daily given opportunities to either trust God or accuse him. And I often would imagine that it's because we're looking at him through the lens of our weakness, where God wants us to look at our weaknesses through the lens of his love and his power, right?
Exactly. In fact, you know, I think this has been the thing that's been so revolutionary about this book in my own life, is that I'm realizing that trusting God is not as much about me working up enough faith as getting my eyes open to how incredibly good and faithful he is. Mm-hmm. And that has been revolutionary, because otherwise, you know, we limit ourselves by, well, I need to trust him, but I really just don't have enough faith. And it's all, then it becomes like, well, bad me, terrible me. I need to get more faith. What's wrong with me? Or all the things that accuse. But one of the things that has been powerful is I believe it's Hudson Taylor. God used Mark 11:22, I believe it is, just came alive, where it says, have faith in God. And when he went to the original language, it means to have or hold the faithfulness of God. And so that's become part of my prayer, even of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the faithfulness of God.
Somebody's got to
himself for me.
Come on. Somebody's got to text me an amen. That's an amen. Text me now, 877-933-2484. Talking to Joanna Weaver. I'm praying by the end of the show, we all trust him a little bit more. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Here's what's true. When we see Jesus face to face and we see our story in the light of his grace, where there's nothing clouding or dimming our view, we see God's love, we see his miraculous, meticulous attention to detail, we'll discover ours was truly a miraculous story. So we've got to trust him now. But I love what my friend Joanne Weaver said. This isn't about amping up and hiking yourself up by the bootstraps. You need more faith. It's not that. It's holding fast to the faithfulness of God, where we magnify the Lord because it becomes easier then to trust him. That's what we're talking about today, is trusting in God. Joanne Weaver's new book is Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. And I love all the amens that came in. I knew I could count on you. We've got a handful of copies to give away. If you want to text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We've been walking through 10 signs that we might have trust issues. And again, there's no condemnation in this list. It's just a heart check for all of us. And that first one is you keep God at a distance. Two, you remain in the driver's seat. When you say God is my co-pilot, you mean it. You haven't surrendered control to him. Your prayer life maybe is lifeless or non-existent because you don't want to be disappointed. Or maybe you tend to be a skeptic. When people talk about answers to prayer, you're kind of doubting if it's just hype or whatever. You struggle to, or you don't feel God's love. Okay, we talked about that one. Number six now, here we are. You struggle to worship. The words feel flat on your tongue. While one part of you wants to express your love to God, the other part feels empty and detached and even dry. Maybe say a word about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we can even maybe not be struggling with trust, but just be so overwhelmed with the cares of this life and the burdens and maybe some discouragement and or some disillusionment where it's like, God, I don't understand why this is so hard. Sometimes it can come from just absolutely being exhausted. And I'm so glad that the Lord knows how to restore our soul. And I've often had to pray that during those dry seasons myself, because sometimes if I really look closely, it can be connected back again to that disappointment that things didn't go the way I thought they would. You know, sometimes we pray and we're believing with such great faith, and yet God doesn't answer immediately or in the way we thought he would. And if we're not careful, those expectations, like one listener talked about, can begin to just almost shut us down spiritually. And that's, I think, when I find myself flat and dry, I've just learned to bring even that dryness to the Lord. And I'm so glad he promises that a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. But he so gently gets down, even in the middle of our pain, and he blows that breath of life. And he brings back that part of our heart that's been cold. And so, yes, we may struggle to worship, but we can bring that trust issue, whatever it is, to the Lord, and he can help us.
And in all of these things, we find a compassionate God. I mean, picture him with tender eyes, welcoming you with open arms. He knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. Yeah. And when we see our hearts, we bring those hearts before God, and he heals and tends to them and strengthens our hearts. Okay, number seven, a sign that you might have trust issues is you seldom connect with God's word. You may read the Bible out of duty, but those words rarely reach your heart. If someone's listening today going, yep, that's me, what advice would you have?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for me, one of the big things, especially when it came to connecting with God's word in a meaningful way, did come back to that place of surrender where I said, God, I'm yours. Show me how to live. And I began to read the word in a different way, where I was reading expecting him to speak rather than feeling like it was a duty. Because, boy, when I approach the word out of duty, it usually is pretty dry. Mm-hmm. But when I come with an expectant heart, saying, God, you know, I'm even learning, Susie, in my journal time, because I, even though I'm a writer, I'm a reluctant writer, and yet journaling has really transformed my walk with God. I've kind of learned even to get honest before I even go to the Word, just to say, God, here's where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. You know, just to even be honest about where I'm at, because then when I go to the Word, it's just remarkable how many times he meets me there. I'm not saying every single time, but so much more than had I just said, okay, I got to read my chapter today and do my spiritual duty. Going with that expectant heart. And even if we're like, God, I feel so far away, but I want to hear from you. He's so faithful. And you know, maybe it's not that moment. Maybe you'll read something and it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll write that down in my journal, but it doesn't speak that day. It's so funny how many times, like a couple of weeks later, it's like, wait a minute, Lord, you talked to me about this. And it's just a great adventure when we begin to approach the word as a relationship and not as a duty.
Very good. We're walking through a top 10 list that we might have trust issues. And as you can tell, Joanna's bringing the alternative, the charge to trust him to see what God might have for us. Another one is to doubt God's goodness because life is hard. You've maybe struggled to believe that he's for you and working on your behalf. What do you say?
You know what? This is so big and so real. One of the things when I was writing this book is I was like, God, I don't want this to be that Band-Aid, you know, that Christian Band-Aid that we tend to put on others, and we mean it. You know, we're like, oh, just trust God. And it sounds so good and it's so true. And yet it's just this Christian Band-Aid that doesn't necessarily really go to the heart of the matter. I don't know about you, Susie, but I don't appreciate when they try to put Band-Aids on me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Lord, what is this? How can we build a platform of faith? And a lot of it is, I think we've got to back up a little bit and understand some things. And first of all, we live in a fallen world. This world was broken by our rebellion. And yet, for some reason, we keep thinking this is supposed to be heaven. And when it isn't, it's just remarkable to me how often our flesh wants to blame God for it. You know, and so we end up convicting God on circumstantial evidence without understanding that we live in a fallen world. We have an enemy. Then we've got the problem of our own free will. And yet if we'll bring all those broken pieces to the Lord, rather than blaming him for what's going on, bringing it to him and saying, God, would you redeem this? Would you come in your strength and your power? You know, I was thinking so many times, I'm so grateful for my faith tradition where we believe in miracles. We believe in God's power to intervene and interrupt and overrule. And yet so many promises in scripture that speak of blessings, there are just as many promises in scripture that say, you're going to go through trials, but I'm going to be with you. And I was reading this morning again in Isaiah 43:2-1 in the New Living. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you go through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. And I think we need to understand that in this world, we will have trouble. Jesus said it himself. And if we keep looking for good and what our label is of good, and when things are bad, then we're going to assume that God is at fault rather than saying, God, would you come? Would you be in this situation? Would you work on our behalf? Would you redeem it? And that's, I think, so for me, I remember this old quote that I came across years ago. Christianity isn't the absence of problems. It's the promise of his presence. Mm-hmm. And so during those times where we question the goodness of God, I think we've got to stop looking for the good and start looking for our God.
Come on. Amen. All right. Number 9 in this list of 10, you secretly believe God's mad at you. When something goes wrong, you assume God is punishing you.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of Christians that really struggle with this. I've got a dear relative who calls and says, I need you to pray for me because God doesn't listen to my prayers. And I've just been praying for a revelation of his love to her heart. And again, I think we've got to back up from the weeds and from the middle of our difficulties and allow the Lord to give us a heavenly perspective that while this life is hard, he is good and he loves us and he wants to work on our behalf. And I would just say, to our listeners, if you have fully given your life to the Lord, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, you are fully accepted. You can't add to what the cross did, and you can't take it away. So rather than believing the lies of the enemy and allowing him to plant those seeds of doubt that God loves everyone else, but he's mad at you, just begin to quote those promises over yourself that how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is who you are. And begin to live from the truth of what God says rather than our feelings in the moment.
Amen. Last one here before we go to break. You feel stuck. This is a sign you might be dealing with some trust issues. You feel stuck. Regret from your past, resentment in the present, and fear about the future keep you from fully trusting God. And we've talked about this often on the show about bracing for impact. And maybe you're stuck because you just stopped hoping, or you literally are playing not to lose. What do you say to those who are listening in that place today?
Oh, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Cast your cares on him, because he really does care for you. And again, you know, I mean, I have felt it myself where I'm just almost frozen. I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm just in so much despair that I can't get where I need to go. But I've learned, if I just call out, Jesus, I need you, like Peter going under the waves, just reaching out to the Savior, Jesus raises us up and he takes us where we need to go. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that no matter how stuck you feel, he's as close as the mention of his name.
Amen. You know, the verse as we get ready to go to break here that you offer is Isaiah 41:10. And friend, I want you to hear this. This is the living word of God. This is God speaking to you. This comes from his word. Don't be afraid, dear one, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I remember I was on your podcast recently and you said something so interesting. We're running out of time, but I may have you commented on the other side of the break. But you said Adam and Eve decided not to trust God when they've been given God's best. And Job decided to trust God when God had allowed the worst. Wow, what a contrast. When we come back, we have a lot to accomplish in this next segment. We might touch on that, but there are 10 faith-building exercises. We'll have to go through them a little bit faster, but practical application to build your faith. We can do this, friends. We're doing it together. Joanna Weaver is my guest today. Her book, Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. You might be exhausted because you're white-knuckling. You might be exhausted because you're trying to control. You might be exhausted because you're bracing for impact. What if you did learn the art of letting go? What if you just cease striving, know that he's God, sunk down into his love, and let him do the driving, do the carrying, do the leading and the guiding? That's what he wants to do. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're talking about trusting God. The thing is, he seems like he's moving slower than we would prefer, but he's doing something better than we can imagine. We've got to, you know, we're in such an impatient culture. We're so used to click of a button, get something on your doorstep within hours, but that God has his way of working. And as we trust him, we see that he works all things together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This dear listener said, you know, I struggled with feeling of God being mad at me and punishing me, and until I started looking at my circumstances going on as a lesson to be learned. That's when I started realizing I wasn't being punished, I was being taught. That's so good. Joanna Weaver is my guest today. We're talking about her book, Embracing Trust, The Art of Letting Go and Holding On to a Forever Faithful God. I know we don't have we have one segment left here to walk through these, so we won't have time to unpack them as much, but these are 10 faith-building exercises that you offer in the book, and I just want to leave people with some really good practical application. First one, ask God to increase your faith. What say you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I pray that prayer from Mark 9:24. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And that's the beautiful thing. Again, remember, this is not about us working it up. This is about us getting a hold of God and allowing Amen. Him to shape our faith with his faithfulness.
You know, and a good caveat here, because I've been on the receiving end of, you know, where's your faith? When you struggle and you have fear, especially when you've got chronic issues, that it, to me, is such a poor wielding of the word, and it's painful and it's wrong when you are telling someone who's suffering, you just need more faith, you know, where truly Jesus says you need a mustard seed. But that prayer, increase my faith, that's a personal prayer that God loves to answer, and it's good for us to ask. Don't you think that that's different than telling somebody who's suffering, you wouldn't be in this predicament if you had more faith? That
Absolutely.
Is so painful to me, but there's
Absolutely.
A clear distinction.
In fact,
there.
my my mother-in-law suffered from chronic illness, and she would have people say that. And the Lord gave her a sweet little answer, and she did it very kindly. But she said, you know, the story of the paralytic, it wasn't his faith. It was the faith of his friends. And if you'd be willing to carry me, I'd sure appreciate it.
Oh, so good. Wow. Amen there. Okay. So ask God. Increase my faith, God. Grow my faith. Open my eyes to see what I can't see. I love this one. Practice trusting God in little things. I think we all have little things that we can bring into the forefront and say, this one, I'm giving it to you, God. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How many times people say, well, I don't want to bother God with the little things. I'm telling you what, it's been those little things that have been the big things. You see his faith, his track record, and just those little God kisses that build your faith for those big things. So, yeah, you know, I just remember asking God for this sounds so silly, but a coffee table that I really wanted. And I tried to save up money. And God said, no, I want you to wait. And miraculously, in a week, I had a $25 one from a garage sale that was better shaped than the one I'd been admiring in the store.
So good. And just to be clear, too, there are no little and big things with God. It's all easy in his eyes. But for us, if it's a little thing, like you said, we don't want to bother him. But I think he delights in being involved in those places in our story. Okay, so ask God to increase your faith. Practice trusting God in little things. Remember what God has done for you. Say a word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think all of us suffer from a form of spiritual amnesia, especially when a new trouble or a continuing trouble slams into our lives. And so I'm actually really trying to do that this Thanksgiving season of just calling to remembrance the things that God has done. And one of the interesting things is that the testimony of the Lord is ours. That means everything he's done in the Bible, even everything he's done for you, my friend, that you inspire so much faith in me as I watch God work in your life, your testimony actually becomes my testimony. And I can remember what God has done for you and know that he'll do it for me. It may not be the same way, but he is a God who is active if we'll just give him room.
Amen. So we're walking through a list of 10 faith-building exercises. So pick a few of these, friends. Ask God to increase your faith. Practice trusting God in little things. Remember what he's done for you. Number four, practice gratitude for your blessings. Somebody once said, if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today, what would you have? So talk about gratitude.
Yeah. Well, again, it for me, it's just not only thanking him for what he's done in the past, but like actually being present for my life. Really, like, my husband and I went for a ride yesterday, and just thanking him for the beauty of the changing colors and the creation. I just think so much of my life passes by without me actually engaging in it. So I'm trying to practice gratitude for those things as well.
Yeah, love this one. Spend time in God's Word, because, you know, if you don't know the Word, you really don't know God. I mean, we get to know the God of, you know, the one who breathed the galaxies into being by realizing what Scripture says about him. So that's a good one. Any more you want to say about that?
Well, I just want to encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to be with you as you read, because he's the one who brings the revelation that we need. That has changed my life, rather than just approaching it as a duty, approaching it as a relationship and expecting the Lord to speak.
So ask the Lord to speak to you as you're reading. Now, okay, number six, invite Jesus into your daily life.
Yeah. I really try to do this each day, because if I'm not careful, I can get up and get going and, you know, the Lord's kind of left in the dust if I don't consciously invite him in. And so I try to nearly every morning just say, Lord, come take the throne of my life. You lead and guide me. Here's what I think needs to happen, but your will be done.
Ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray. You kind of touched on that, but say more if you would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially during those times when we've got those troubles, or, you know, I think it's hard to trust God when we're hurting, but boy, it's even harder to trust God when our children are hurting or our family is hurting. And so many times we don't know how to pray. Part of the reason I think why we get angry with God is because we assume that we know what is best for the situation. And when he doesn't, you know, agree or work in the way we should think he should, then we get discouraged. But I'm learning to ask the Lord, how would you have me pray? How can I partner with you in prayer in this situation?
That's really good, because he's interceding. So I love that. Wow. I mean, I wonder how often we do that. Okay. Number eight, spend time with other believers.
Yeah. Kind of goes back to that whole thing of as much as we are porcupines on a cold winter night, like Chuck Swindoll says, we poke each other and we get separated, and but it's cold out there, so we come together. We need the body of Christ. And, you know, boy, COVID has scattered a lot of us. It's become really easy just to watch online, and I totally get that. And I'm so grateful for technology, so grateful for shows like yours. But there's something about that person-to-person contact, just coming together and linking hearts in praise, that really builds up our faith.
Amen. All right. Seek out faith-building resources.
Yes, like Susie Larson Live. Yes. You know, some people say, you know, I only read the Bible. And you know what? I get that. I understand that. But the Lord, I was kind of asking God, because it sort of seems a little bit presumptuous to write books and think that God would use them. But then I thought of how Paul writes, how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And it's almost like those books that God has given us, the Christian resources, they're sermons. They're just as valid as the word that is preached in the pulpit each day. And we're surrounded, oh my goodness, with technology. I was just found this obscure book that I can't wait to get into from an old, old saint back in the 1800s. And it's there, right there for free on Google.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so you seek out faith-building resources. Number 10, share your faith.
Yeah. You know what? I've always struggled. My dad, oh my goodness, he was such a one-to-one evangelist. There was no one he met that he didn't tell them about Jesus. But for whatever reason, I haven't had that gifting, or whatever you would say. But because I think sometimes we're afraid, well, you know, I don't have this really amazing testimony, you know. Like my husband says, I was delivered from the bottle when I was 2 years old. You know? So I don't have a dark testimony. But whenever you let God get his hands on you, that's a testimony. Whenever he speaks revelation word to your heart, that's a testimony. Just give the bread that God's put in your basket, and he's going to break it, he's going to bless it, and he's going to make it feed a multitude.
And he's going to use you in a way that fits who you are. But there is something that happens supernaturally within us that's activated. When you start to testify, you overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, loving not your life even unto death. And sometimes loving not your life is going, I'm going to take a risk here that you might reject me, but I want to just share with you what God has done. I mean, that is putting a flag in the ground, activating your faith, and sowing seeds of faith in someone else. But, you know, one of the things you talk about in the book is, as far as learning trust, applying trust to our lives, is praying God-sized prayers so that he can be revealed through his God-sized answers. Say a word about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for so many years, I have not wanted to ask God for big things because I didn't want to be disappointed. You know, I've believed for some things. There's been some dreams, some visions that I really thought was from the Lord, and that they didn't quite turn out the way I planned. And so as a result, I kind of shrunk back from asking God for big things. But, you know, I began to realize that he's not looking for me to come up with good ideas. He's asking me to partner with him. And if I'm willing to get close to him, and I've even just been praying, Lord, would you show me what's on your heart? What do you want to do in the world? And sometimes some of those things that he's stirring in our lives and in our hearts are directly his perfect will. And by pulling back and being afraid to ask, well, we kind of diminish God, diminish God's greatness by the smallness of our request. So I'm kind of becoming like a little girl who goes, hey, Daddy, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Lord, I think this would really further your kingdom. I think this would be amazing. God, I'm believing you. I mean, think of the people who have prayed that Roe versus Wade would be reversed. And I'm sure some of us have gotten so tired and we thought it'll never happen in my lifetime. And then somehow, whip, all of a sudden the landscape has changed. We underestimate how much God wants to do on the earth. And for whatever reason, he has linked his power to act with our willingness to pray. So I just don't want to miss on this opportunity to partner with him.
Wow. Well, one last question for you, Joanna. What do you know about God now that you didn't know as much, at least? Maybe you know it on a deeper level now that you didn't know 5 years ago.
Oh, my word. Oh, Susie, that's a whole nother four or five shows. Mm-hmm. I am, my mind is being blown away by the simplicity of and beauty of the gospel. And I've made it so much about what I can do. And so then it's all been limited by my limitations. And I'm just learning, Lord, Jesus, come take over. Let there be so much of you that it's you that does the work in the world, that it's not me. Now, for whatever reason, he chooses to work through me. But I am just that oneness with Christ, Christ in me. That's the hope of glory, of being an accurate reflection to the world of who God really is and his love for them.
Wow. Well, this dear listener said, wow, what a blessing and a wonderful show today. Thank you. Thanks for listening. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Joanna, thank you for just the way you walk with God and steward his love. And I pray, friends, you found some encouragement. I pray that we can all dare to trust him with the little things and then dare to trust him with some bigger things, because he will be found faithful. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.